Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 330. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of either a CD or an audio tape. Absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. We have some music, very little music always, but enough to set the spirit in the program. We have prayer. We have Bible reading and expounding on the Word of God. We have some testimonies as well. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service with Your Spirit. Lord, Your Spirit lives within us, those of us that are born again of the Spirit. It isn't like the Holy Spirit or the Spirit, Your Spirit in the Old Testament, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament shows us that it has led, you have stepped into, the Holy Spirit has stepped into humanity and lived a human life, then was crucified, buried, went to hell, went out of hell, all these different processes happened, rose from the dead, and ascended into the kingdom of God. Lord, it's quite different than in the Old Testament. Never before has the Holy Spirit went through this human experience of being incarnate, dwelling among mankind and living the human life. Being crucified, that Your blood could take away all of our sins, and that You were buried, went to hell, then arose out of hell in the grave. You conquered death, hell, and the grave, sin, Satan, and the world, and all the lusts. And then You ascended up into the kingdom of God and became the life-giving Holy Spirit. Therefore, all, the entire Godhead, is You. Now, it was You, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who created everything that is created, and it created it for Yourself. And therefore, You also bought us. There's no way that we could enter the kingdom of heaven, so You had to purchase us with Your blood. And by shedding the blood, there's no forgiveness. We could never be forgiven of sins. Unless Your blood was shed at Calvary. Lord, let the message enter into everyone's spirit, their soul, their mind, and fill their mind with the Word of God, their spirit, their soul, that their souls may be saved. And Lord, we pray that they will be saved and the church be strengthened. And we asked also, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, because we know when we ask something that we have it. If we have faith, that we have it. We ask, Lord, that You destroy every demonic force that's coming against our church and against me. Lord, how many times have they wanted to assassinate me, but You've let me live for 42 more years in the ministry. I love You, Lord, and I know that You've heard me, and I know that You've answered me, and I know that it's done. In my eyes, in Your eyes, it is done. I'm asking in faith, believing, Lord, that more souls can be saved, and the more the church can be strengthened and brought back to zeal. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's Faith Springman to sing Jesus Walked. And you know, when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, you know, you might be lonesome for people, because most everybody in the world will not want to hang with you any longer once you really are a person of the Lord. But really, the Bible says, cease ye from man. Don't worry about it. Don't be involved with man anyway. He said, "Cease ye from men, the teaching of men, for how lightly are they to be accounted? Cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath." There's only one breath in everybody's nose. He said, "Well, no, I can breathe two breaths." "No, you can't. All you could do is breathe one half of a breath and then the other half. But you cannot breathe two breaths at one time. You know, you could even do it in eighths, four, six, seven, eight, you know, like that, little sniffs, but it still amounts to one breath, all right? And that breath can be put out of you, just like the wind going underneath the door and putting a pilot light out in your stove or in your water heater or whatever. That's how fragile human life is. And it could end. And so, Lord, we asked that you reveal these things, how important it is to know the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament, the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New. And we need to know that the Holy Spirit is with us. And even though we're Jesus walked that lonesome valley, we have to walk it as well by ourselves. It's just the whole Godhead in ourselves. But if we have the Godhead, we are more than any all the humans in the world. Amen?
Amen.
If God be with us and in us, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, no one who could be against us. So here he is, Faig Springman, our guest today, singing "Jesus Walked That Lonesome Valley."
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it for himself. Must go and stand my trial. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself. I got to stand.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful God, wonderful Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. All right, so I've been doing a series of messages on how that the cross is not just the suffering or just a punishment, you know, a temporary punishment, but it's a punishment that is unto death. So during the Roman period of time, it's getting back to that now because the entire world is ruled by Rome, including the United States of America. But this is not going to last long. And this is why, one of the reasons why we preach the gospel, to show you who the devil is. But the Lord states that we need to be dead. So the reason that we know that is he tells us to take up the cross and follow me. he says, to deny thyself, take up the cross, and follow me. Not the world, not your lusts, not the lusts of your flesh, or not your eyes to bulge out in lust where you're just leering at something, or that you receive it into your heart as something that you lust after, and you treasure the things of the world that you lust after. Because we know when a person smiles at somebody really friendly, if a female does that, it doesn't make any difference really almost how ugly the woman is or how disgusting she is. Still, it turns men on. And so we're responsible for smiling at people if, of course, in the United States of America, people think that the doctrine that I'm preaching now is false. But Jesus didn't go around, or the Apostle Paul, smiling at women. And the women, Mary Magdalene, after she was saved, or Mary, the mother of Jesus, never ran around smiling at men. This is doctrine of the Antichrist. And this is what's being projected on television. And people lure each other on. But the Lord tells us that the cross is not only a painful punishment, but it's also a daily and deathly punishment. That's why he tells us to take up the cross. Don't live the same kind of life that you did before. Don't be leering or checking out different guys or different girls and smiling at them to lure them on, and going to your dentist to get whatever it is to paint your teeth. Isn't that something, you know, where all these women, they have all kinds of false things on them, false eyelashes. They paint their face with makeup and everything to try to make themselves presentable for people to lust after. And they say, well, no. As some people, I'm thankful that they put makeup on, because, you know, so I have to live around some of them in the church and so on. I'm not anything bad, but it's not bad to put makeup on if you're not using it to lure the opposite sex. I know Elvis Presley dyed his hair because he was blonde, and he painted his eyebrows. I knew him personally, and put on makeup. He wouldn't even come to the door to see us if he hadn't made up and put on an ascot and everything. He at one time was very conscious of his the way he presented himself to people. Then he lost all that when he got on drugs. So it's good to, you know, dress up a little bit, but not overly so, or to come on to the opposite sex, the opposite gender, because usually you're just making, trying to lure somebody that's already got all kinds of problems with their body and their brain and their spirit, their soul. And so don't be so quick to do that. The Lord says to take up the cross, because everything is an allurement in the world. If you could see the soul of some of these females, I mean, if you could see the spirit in them, you would scream your head off. And the same thing with you women. If you could see the demons in some of the men that you're flirting with, if you'd scream to the top of your lungs. And if you saw where they were going, you'd scream to the top of your lungs. The cross doesn't merely cause a human to suffer, but the cross puts a man or a woman to death. And that's why the Lord says, take up the cross, your cross, and put yourself to death on a daily basis, because it doesn't happen once and for all. When you die, your body dies, it's dead once and for all, until the time the Lord raises it up and changes it and takes you into the kingdom of heaven. So likewise, the bearing of the cross is not a matter of suffering, but of bearing or putting to death, not on a one day at a time, one day, but one day at a time, every day. Not of standing on the ground of suffering. But you have to realize that when the Lord gives you the commandment to take up the cross and follow me, that means he says to take up death, the death to everything. The Lord talked of his servant, Antipas. The word Antipas means he's against everything, everything in the world. He doesn't lust after women. He didn't lust after men, as the men do today. He didn't lust after money. He didn't lust after entertainment, beauty contests, or anything like that, or anything. But my faithful martyr, Antipas, was killed, murdered. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. The original writings does say murder. Murder means to plot to kill somebody. It's killing, but it's murder. But it says thou shalt not murder. Now, in self-defense, it's not against the Lord to defend yourself. Now, we don't use guns, bullets, bombs, or anything like that, but if somebody's attacking me, and I'm able to, I'm going to take him down on the ground and have somebody call the police. But today's police are instructed to come against Christians and to let the criminal go. The Bible tells that people that murder are supposed to be put to death, not given 5 years. And somebody that has sex with, say, a 15-year-old woman, they're supposed to marry him in the Bible. But here they want to give him the person that murders somebody, give him 5 years or 6 years. And somebody that has sexual relationships with a 15-year-old woman, after she's menstruated, she's a woman. But they keep the media, which is Satan's voice, keeps saying that that is a girl, a young girl. By the time women today are 15 years old, they've probably had sex about 1,000 times, and they say they've committed fornication maybe anywhere from 10, 15, 20 to 1,000 times, and thousands of times. I've found out from people's parents that their daughter started having sex when she was 6 years old and had sex every day of her life, sometimes 2 and 3 days, from 6 years old. So right there, by the time she's 15 years old, she's had sex thousands of times. I mean, this is just reality. And like the school in New York alone, just in New York City alone, they give out over 1.5 million condoms a year. Is it million or billion? It's million, I think. And that's not including the birth control pills. So the government does condone child sex, but they don't condone them to get married to somebody old enough to be able to support them. And when I'm preaching this, they try to turn it around that this, I'm married to a lot of young girls, or even a lot of women that I've married, people that are somebody else's they had somebody else's wife. That is not true. I've never married anybody else's wife. I've not married to hundreds of girls or women. I've not married to anybody but one woman. Check the marriage bureaus all over the world and see if I'm married. Okay?
Amen.
But I'm telling you the truth. Because women should be able to be married if they have somebody that has got a job and is able to support their children. They should be able to be married at 13, 14, 15 years old. And in some cases, if they've menstruated already, 12 years old. And that is so antichrist to deny that, that it isn't at all funny. Now, my grandmother and many people's grandmothers and grandfathers were married when they were 12. The grandmother was 12, 13, 14 years old. And in the Bible, the wife of Isaac was 10 years old and he was 38. So they say, well, that's the Bible. Well, there isn't there the freedom of religion? Okay, and where does the government come off getting involved in religion. They're putting people in prison. I say if they rape somebody, still the Bible says that they have to marry them and support them. But, of course, people don't listen to the Bible. It infuriates them. That's why the Bible infuriates them, because a lot of these guys that want to throw people in prison for 30 years for marrying a woman that is like 14, 15 years old, they want to throw them in prison because they're so ugly they can't attract any woman at all. Amen?
Amen.
They're ugly. God made them ugly because they have ugly souls. Amen?
Amen.
But say, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm not preaching perversion. They're perverted. The Bible says that this is the doctrine of devils when people are forbidding young women to be married. They're menstruating, they're women. They want to make them wait until they're 18 years old in order for them to get married. By that time, there's so many people that are dying from AIDS and everything because there's this natural force within them that God put in them that they should get married and that they should have children. And it says, yet let the young women marry, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And let them bear children. And let them multiply, be fruitful and multiply. But they say, no, we don't want you to multiply. We want you to get married to a homosexual. So I'm against Satan's doctrines, the doctrines of devils. And I'm for the doctrine of the Lord. I believe that men should be eunuchs if the Lord leads them to be eunuchs. And if the Lord leads them to be married at a young age, then let the young women marry. Okay, and forbid them not. That's what it means when the Bible says when the Lord sets you free, free from these damnable antichrist doctrines of devils, you are free indeed. So they're coming up to our church and many other churches and saying that we've been holding marriage ceremonies of young girls. No, I know better than that because the Bible states these things would happen. So I have never held a marriage ceremony in the church or out of the church for young people, 14, 15 years old to be married. Never have. And so if you hear that I have, just know that it's a lie, okay? Now, if other people have done that in my church or in the Roman Catholic Church, I don't know about that, but it certainly has come out in the Roman Catholic Church that there's a lot of perversion in there, and they're not prosecuting those people at all. You know why? Because they are antichrist. They're members of antichrist body, and they never take an antichrist to court. For homosexuality, they're condoning it, and they are making it a law that if you don't condone it, that you get your tax-exempt status taken away and all that sort of thing. But how does the government, when the government has the gall to say there's a separation between church and state, then why are they getting involved in the church? Amen?
Amen.
And when the U.S. Constitution states that there should be the freedom of religion, and if the Lord tells somebody to get married to a 14 or 15-year-old woman, and I say woman because they are women, and even the dictionary says they're women. Webster's dictionary says puberty comes when a woman begins menstruating, okay? And so why is she menstruating? Because God, that's the time when she can have children, amen?
Amen.
And why would he allow them to menstruate at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on, if he didn't want them to have children? Why wouldn't he not wait until they're 18 years old or 20 or 30 or whatever this satanic government wants them to wait that long? And you know something, you take all these government officials, they're messing around with young girls themselves. And in the Vatican, these people that have been in the Vatican say they got young little girls, preteen, 8, 9, and 10 years old, running around inside the Vatican bare naked. And also boys, the same way. And they're serving them. They're carrying silver trays and serving the Pope and the Cardinals. They have 5 nightclubs, bars in the Vatican. You don't see that in a born again of the Spirit Church. You don't see any of that perversion. And they run the government, and they're the ones that are bringing up these false stories about Christians and against the Bible and against Jesus, so that it can pervert you by you believing that sort of thing, so that you don't believe the actual gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord tells you to die out to these worldly, seducing, satanic spirits, he means to die out completely to them, and also to the doctrines of devils, to the doctrines of this world. He says, love not this world, because the world is condemned. And the reason for it is because of what the government is doing, the Roman government within our government, and because of the lusts in the world. He says, there's nothing in the world but lust. And that's why we that are born-again Christians cannot be of this world. I would never encourage anyone to get married if they didn't love one another and if they didn't have the way and the means to support their wives and their children. Or would I ever condone people to get married if they are if the woman hasn't menstruated yet? Okay? I would never do that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the people have been so brained, not washed, but damaged from the media and the government, that they're just scared. And they have all these agencies, you know, that, and the agencies have to show that they're doing something by arresting innocent people for obeying the gospel. Now, if there's a separation between church and state, then you government officials stay out of the churches.
Amen.
Okay, because we're not into your government. The only thing I talk about government is what's in the Bible. The Bible said that you people are the Antichrist. You're run by the Catholic Vatican and Roman Catholic, and that you've infiltrated into every fiber of the United States and every other country in the world, and yet you're murdering people because it's planned. You're planning to take over every country, and you're planning to do it by using the United States military power, and you've been doing it for years, and one of the presidents have been suckered into that, and has ruined our country, and is making God exceedingly angry at everybody. Now, he doesn't want you to do that anymore, people. The Lord will forgive you, but you have to deny yourself and the ideas that have been planted in your head all your life that are contrary to the Word of God. You have to deny that sort of stuff, then take up the cross, your cross, and apply it to all these false things. Then you have to be crucified with Christ on Christ's cross, and then you have to deny yourself the lusts and all the satanic things in this world. That's all. And put the cross to him. The Lord doesn't tell you deny you of food or water or things like that, or a nice bed to sleep in. He doesn't deny you. But he just wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit and to put the cross or the Holy Spirit to every evil thing that's being said and done. So to bear the cross is not to bear suffering, but to bear death. You have to carry the cross to carry death with you everywhere. Death to everything in this world. Not to put ourselves under suffering. If that's suffering, to deny the things that the Lord said to do, then death. You have to die out, not to the Lord, by denying the things that, if you're suffering because you can't do the things that the devil tells you to do, well then, you shouldn't suffer because of that. You should die to that. You should put the cross to that, because doing the things that Satan tells you to do or the world tells you to do is going to send your soul to hell.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So, don't think of it as a awful death. It's a death to the devil. Jesus destroyed Satan on the cross. And so you have to destroy Satan by being on the cross in applying the cross to every satanic thing that is being said. Some females that are 14, 15 women and 16 years old and 17 are like committing suicide because they can't get married. Mm-hmm. And so this is satanic, amen? And there is nothing that is... Years ago, people only lived to be 30-some years old. And if you waited till you were 18, that means you'd never see your children raised to adulthood. And you'd never be a grandmother. So the Lord does want you to be married. And, you know, it's about time that people, because they're doing this in the media, they're like, and in the judicial system, they're prosecuting people. There's a guy that they put in prison for 10, 20 years, something like, for having sex with a teenager, I think it was, somebody 16 years old or 17. And so they're trying to get him off the hook, saying that it's not wrong if you have, if you're a teen and the girl that you had sex with is 17. Well, it sure is a sin, I'll tell you that, okay? What's the difference? Mm-hmm. And what's so different about a female and a male? Why, if the woman does it, why doesn't she go to prison too? Because women seem to want sex more than men. Okay? So the women are the ones that lead the men on. Okay? But they don't put the women in prison for having preteen sex. And everything is crazy because it is not. Women should not have sex with a man if she's not going to give, if he's not going to marry her. Amen. All right? And they shouldn't have sex either unless he's a worker, somebody that's going to go out and get a job and be a Christian. Because what point is there being married to somebody that's not a Christian? The Lord commands us not to be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Now, this is the real word of God. And if you listen to the media enough, you're going to be so warped, so perverted, that you won't know what truth is at all. Like I say, I believe in a person, if they want to be a eunuch, they don't have to be married. You don't have to be married, because God tells some people to be eunuchs. And if he does, well, then be a eunuch. So, to put ourselves under suffering is not putting ourselves under death, because we have to put ourselves not under suffering. Of course, we suffer, but we put ourselves under death. If you think that you're just going to suffer and not put yourself to death, well, you say, it's suffering to not be able to just fornicate whenever I want to. It's suffering to not be able to take a drink. It's suffering to not be able to take, as a matter of fact, the Lord does condone taking for some people that are not alcoholics. And they say, now the Lord is saying, don't walk under these false spirits of wine and alcohol, but walk in with the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
If you have the Spirit of God, then you don't need alcohol. So you put the cross to that. You deny it. And if you you put it to death. There's a great big difference in this regard between the two meanings, one of crucifix and bearing the cross, and suffering and death. Thus, the bearing of the cross is nothing else but a declaration that in this universe, the death of the cross is accomplished by Christ, who has become the life-giving Spirit. So the cross means that we are to bear the death of Christ on us, and allow the death of Christ to work on us continually in order to put ourself to death. I mean, self and flesh are two, it's just about the same thing. Because self, we want to have so many things. Self wants everything. But what we do when we deny ourself is that we don't take everything that our self or our flesh wants. this is Antichrist, to take what self wants or flesh wants. So in order, we have to deny the flesh, the sentence of the death of Christ, that we need to let him work on us continually in order to put ourself to death. And if we don't put ourselves to death, then we cannot be resurrected unto life. Because a seed, we have to die before we can be resurrected and by the Holy Spirit. You understand?
Amen.
If our flesh is still alive, the Holy Spirit will not work in us. If our flesh is still alive, the Holy Spirit will not enter into us. We have to go to the cross and give up our life there, our former life, and the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the world, sin, Satan, and the world, and be resurrected. So remember, you have to die to the world in order to be resurrected into the spiritual realm. That's how you can be, and that's the only way you can be perfect too, is to die and then be glorified by being resurrected from the dead and becoming a son or a daughter of God. Now, some people say, well, we're sinners saved by grace. If you're saved, you're not a sinner anymore. The Spirit of God enters into you. He washes you completely clean. You were formerly a sinner, but you're not a sinner anymore. You're a son of God or a daughter of God. The Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
So don't ever let anybody tell you that. I just had a guy tell me that yesterday. I said, oh, no, if you're born again, you're not a sinner anymore. The bearing of the cross differs from the crucifixion. The accomplished fact of Christ on the cross is called the crucifixion, while our daily experience of the cross, of our taking up our own cross and following the Lord, is called the bearing of the cross. Therefore, the crucifixion is accomplished by the Lord. We get saved at the cross of Christ, and the bearing of the cross is our responsibility. Christ was the first one to be crucified. And it's our responsibility to be, and he, when he died on the cross, he died for us all. He went to the cross for us all. And so we have to, if we accept that, well, then we go to the cross as well to be crucified. And that's our responsibility. And then we have to exercise it. We have to experience dying. We have to experience, so we see some lustful thing, to turn our head from it and put the cross to it. And that's an experience. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And we do have the power within us to do that, and we do have the instruction from the Bible to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So, the crucifixion on Calvary has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus once and for all, and for all of us. Once, he's only going to be crucified once, and he did it for everyone that will come and accept being crucified themselves. Okay, and when we receive what the Lord has accomplished, what he has done on the cross, we are able to receive it once and for everyone too. Because when we get crucified, then people can see that we're crucified and that we're bearing the cross, and therefore they say, this person is a real Christian. I'm going to listen to what they say. Amen?
Amen.
All right. But if they see you smiling at somebody and making them lust, they don't see Christ in you. That's not denying. You're luring somebody to follow the devil, to have sex with you. There's just no other explanation for it whatsoever. Or to inflate your ego, your flesh, you. That's all you are, is you for yourself. Oh, it just makes me feel so good when somebody lusts after me. One fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. Suddenly your heart just sings because you've lured somebody. You've smiled. And then you act kind of aloof a little bit. So that you're not coming on too strong. But they know you're coming on. And the Lord knows it too. He's the coach. The Spirit is seeing everything. But when we go on in this world, we need to make sure that we're carrying the cross. So what I want to do is, to hear a testimony here at this point. Where's the first one from?
It's from a man named Walt White.
Walt White is the brother of a man in our church. In my ministry, he's been in my ministry for 35, 36, 37 years. And his brother is the main trainer of missionaries for the American Baptist Church. He's a big shot, in other words, in the American Baptist Church. And what they did is they made him the ambassador from the United States to train missionaries to win souls that are Muslims, to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us this information that I didn't know until just a few days ago. Read without having to repeat what I said. Just go on to what he said.
Okay. Mr. White told his brother that in...
Sanford in the church. And what?
That in 1995 or 96, the American Baptist Convention filed a brief against the U.S. government because they believed Tony Lama was being singled out with tax charges for religious reasons.
So the entire American Baptist Church at their convention filed what on them?
They filed a brief against the U.S. government because they believed Tony Lama was being singled out with tax charges for religious reasons.
Amen. Okay, so that should tell people something. That should tell you that I'm not really standing alone. Not only do I have the Lord with me, but I have an army, many armies of people all over the world that are distributing my literature and that are realizing that the government is the Antichrist and that the Muslims are just a branch of the Vatican, and they don't want to admit it. And they're after me because I keep... the reason that they hired John Peeler to assassinate me and many others is because I'm pulling the blanket off of the Antichrist, the media, the government, and the Vatican. All this is coming from Satan. The great red dragon, is his seat is in Rome at the Vatican. The Bible tells you that. And so I want to tell you the difference between the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. There's a difference, as I was mentioning briefly the other day. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is, you'll find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Holy Spirit is the seven spirits. This is also found in the book of Isaiah. It talks about the seven spirits. So the Old and New Testament do not conflict. The New Testament is the complete. It shows it's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is saying that the Lord Jesus is coming to the world. God is coming to the world in a human being. And then he does. Amen?
Amen.
He came into the world as a baby. So you can find that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is, for one thing, the seven spirits mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse verses 4 and 5, chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 6. These seven spirits are in, what they are is an intensification of the intensified spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the church's ability to be able to the government, the whole world is degrading Christians. And if we didn't have the intensification of the Holy Spirit living in us, we would not be able to take the degradation that would be degraded, like we're the filth of the earth and like these devils are of the are good. So these seven spirits gives us the ability to be able to be degraded as we are. I mean, we've been thrown in prison. Now they're saying that Tony is Alamo is a felon. He is a con, an ex-con, because I went to the prison for the gospel, and so. Jesus is an ex-con, the Apostle Paul is an ex-con, the Apostle Peter is an ex-con. You know, they're doing that to degrade us, and we need the intensification of the Holy Spirit to be able to be degraded as we are in this world. We're living in a dark, very dark age of time. The Bible said that it's the darkest and the worst time of the world. And the people in this last days would have to be the strongest Christians there ever would be. And how could we be if we didn't have the intensification of the seven intensified spirits of God living in and with us all the time?
Amen.
Because we're also living in the day of temptation. How could we disregard temptation? I know I couldn't when I was unsaved. Before I had the intensification of the Holy Spirit. But now that I have the intensification of the Holy Spirit, I'm very capable to not be, people try to tempt you, but it just turns me off really big time because I know that really it's the devil trying to get my soul. And so I know that inside whatever that person is, that there's, like, if I saw the spirit in there, it would be the most... It'd look worse than Lena the hyena, okay?
Amen.
And she looks pretty bad, okay? You'd be seeing the devil in there. The most graphic, horrible, heinous devil. So we're living in the dark age. Christians are, that is. All the other people are in darkness, but we see the darkness. We see the temptation. We see all the different things that are being thrown at us. We see the degradation. Some people are so ignorant that they don't know when they're insulted or degraded. But we take it on the chin just like Jesus did. So there is all kinds of degradations in this world, in this very dark age that we're living in. So... The seven spirits, the Holy Spirit intensified, is for all the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. The born again Christian degradation, because we're going to be degraded. Okay? But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to fall away. There's a great falling away in the book of Second Thessalonians, because of degradation, persecutions. But they're built on sand, these people, because when the winds come, the degradation, the persecution, the character assassination, all these things, then there's certain people in our midst that will betray us. The Bible says, "Many shall betray one another." They always say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which makes the Holy Spirit third. But in this case, the intensification of the Holy Spirit, it makes it second. Because Jesus has become the Holy Spirit. So when you say the Father, the Son, it's now the Father, the life-giving Spirit. I mean, that's second now, right? Amen.
Amen.
It used to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but now Jesus has become the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
I want to finish this message tomorrow. Will you please turn on your dial on the same place tomorrow so that you can hear more of this? The intensification of the Holy Spirit. Well, again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and telling you that you need to have the intensification of the Holy Spirit, because you, if you're a Christian, you're going to be degraded. And you have to realize that this is part of carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to take that. Nobody ever degraded me before I was saved. Only the minute I got saved is when the degradation happened. And I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit then. I would have the Spirit in me, but not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's get started. First things first, let's get born again of the Spirit, all right? And you can start out by saying this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word plainly says so. Therefore, I know that you have heard me. I'm calling on you, and you said you'd hear me and show me great and mighty things. And so I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and give all the glory to him, because what I did is I preached him. He is the Word of God, and you can know him more by reading. You can know him completely by reading his Word. People say, we could never know the Lord. You have known him just now, and you can learn more and more of him and have more and more of his intensification of the Holy Spirit as you read more of him and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God, right within your spirit, right within your soul, mixed with your spirit so that you're now eternal. And so here's Sharon. Just praise and thank the Lord and keep reading. Be baptized in water and with the Holy Spirit. And keep reading your Bible and stay with the Lord to the end. Those that stay with the Lord to the end shall be saved. And only those. Okay, so Sharon, tell them four different ways they receive audio tape or a CD of program number 330, this program that you just heard.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Oh, praise the Lord. And again, this is Tony Alamo, World Pastor, and this is H.P. Barnum's Life Prayer Song, his choir, the Life Choir.